a nationwide budgeting service is calling for online payday lenders to be forced to cease operating during the country's lockdown period. The COVID-19 pandemic is already having a huge financial impact on a large range of businesses, resulting in unemployment, and this concerned people desperate for money will turn to loan sharks and online money lenders. We're already seeing the ads popping up, aren't we, from the online lenders. The government is bringing in an interest rate cap on high-cost lenders from the 1st of June this year, capping interest rates at 0.8% a day. The new regulations will also include a 100% repayment limit, which means if you take out a $500 loan, your loan repayment will not exceed $1,000. Family budgeting advisory groups and social agencies fear that people struggling to make ends meet will spiral into debt before the measures come into effect. The COVID-19 lockdown is not only resulting in retrenchment, some companies have introduced pay cuts across the board. To discuss the evolving situation from the National Budgeting Service, FinCap, Chief Executive Tim Barnett. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning, Catherine.
Welcome also to the Executive Director of South Auckland-based youth social agency Affirming Works, Emmeline Afiaki Mafaleo.
Morning.
Can you hear me, Emmeline?
Yeah, I can hear you very clearly, I think.
Welcome, thank you. And from Financial Services Complaints Limited, the Chief Executive, Susan Taylor. Good morning, Susan.
Morena, Catherine.
Tim, could you start? You are the one calling for the so-called payday lenders to cease operating during the pandemic lockdown. Please explain who it is you're referring to.
Payday lenders are generally defined as those who apply high-cost an interest rate at a high level, so that would be generally over 50%. That was the argument we were using last year. There's a clump of around 25 to 30 companies and a wider range of products who currently charge between 100% and about 800% interest. They will be impacted, as you say, by the cap that's coming in. But at the moment, under the definition of essential services, the financial services are counted as essential services, and we are unable to find anything which separates out those companies. So they will have every right to exist, both those which are front-facing with offices like Superloans and Cash Converters, and also all the others who work online. And we think that's of immense concern if what we're trying to do is to protect people from the worst impact of these loans and all it means.
So what are you seeing that's concerning you already?
Oh, we're seeing an increasing number of people coming to Money Talks, our helpline, in desperate situations. Many of those are trying to get through to work and income, and we're able to help with that. But many are just in a new situation of financial hardship where they've no idea where to go or what to do. And the danger in that is that these very slickly promoted companies will succeed in trapping them into high-cost loans. And we know from the surveys we've done in the last while that about half the people who get one of these loans end up with the loan going to a debt collector. And our financial mentors around the country say that 90% of people were worse off as a result of getting these loans than before. So it's an incredible temptation out there at a time of fear about financial hardship.
How is it happening? We're all familiar with the sort of the sandwich board on the footpath saying, you know, come upstairs and talk to this outfit about a loan. Obviously, those are shut down at the moment. Is this the sorts of ads I'm seeing popping up when I'm reading a newspaper or whatever online, popping up and saying, you know, lending company been in business for X number of years, come and talk to us. Is that the level you are looking at, or are we seeing some even sort of sharper behaviour continuing even during a lockdown? Just explain exactly how the market works.
Okay, so as I said, most of the market works online, and that is a very heavy spend on Facebook in particular by these companies, and you'll have seen many of the adverts on TV at peak periods. Essentially, they offer people a very quick minimum question access to money, which is very expensive money to access. And then the financial model the companies operate is about getting a lot of their income off default fees and all the kind of costs that mount up if you fail to actually pay on time. So when we're all in our bubble at home, the online temptations are greater than ever. Plus, there are companies which would be able to continue a front-facing operation if they chose to do that, with who actually have offices in high streets. So the these companies often come and go. They're very hard to pin down. We reckon they operate at the edge of the law or often outside the law, but really hard with our current rules to be able to ping them. And that's why dispute resolution and others are so important. And we think the protection that the essential service label gives them, when we should be promoting the alternatives, microfinance, financial mentoring, the work and income, new benefits that are available, even some KiwiSaver options, and some of the benefits, because people are getting this money for household costs or rent. They're not getting it for the luxuries of life. They're getting it because all the other money has run out. And government is offering a bottom line at the moment to people in terms of saying, we will make sure you don't starve. What we don't want is a situation where people are siphoned towards these companies. It's simply outrageous.
Thank you, Tim Barnett. Now, Emmeline Ifiaka-Mafaleo, if I can bring you back in, please, Executive Director of Affirming Works. What's your view on this? And let's start with that call to actually suspend payday lenders during the lockdown period. Is that feasible?
I'd have to agree with some of what Tim is saying around these high interest loans that our families access because of their existing incomes. Often some of them don't have access to the same financial institutes that we do around banking. So in desperation or in fear, they would go to these high interest lenders. But I think during lockdown, I'm not sure if they have the same opportunities that banks are providing around allowing them to pay a percentage of their mortgage, percentage of the loan back, or freezing the interest. And this is when some of them during the season possibly would not be earning an income or their full income. And then that's when the cycle of debt starts to become more difficult and more challenging for these families. And, you know, families that I've worked with for many years in our community, this is their only option of lending, unfortunately. You know, they've been an informal society. I'm not sure how you would define them, and their work has not always been consistent, and they've obviously gone from being a contractor to a beneficiary to a contractor, or being unemployed for long, consistent times. That they don't have the ability to loan from banks and other financial institutes, which is a question around accessibility.
Is it often young people and often those in contract jobs who are in this situation that you're dealing with? And are they finding it particularly difficult with, as you say, a lot of these jobs either downsizing or shutting shop for good?
Yes, our service was set up to provide employment for youth, but we understood that most of the young people we were employing, their parents weren't employed, or their parents were in employment where income was very minimal. So, you know, for Pacific and sometimes Māori families, we collectively pull our resource or our income, and then this often looks much more favourable with financial institutes that allow that kind of lending. And Tim touched on the minimum levels of compliance, and I think that's really key for people in our community that choose to borrow from these sources.
Do they need something now then if they're going to avoid the payday lenders? We've been talking to the banks. Are they able, and should they be, stretching some of their normal credit restrictions to enable a moderate amount of lending at a reasonable interest rate? Is that something they could practically do if they're going to step up at this time?
I think in this health hazard, you know, of course our focus has become, you know, our well-being and our health. And I think when we're dealing with clients in our organisation in this time, we're needing to deal with them case by case. And if these families weren't able to borrow money from a bank pre-COVID-19 shutdown, I'm not sure how they would be able to borrow money post or during the shutdown period with our bubbles and more families in isolation where they would go normally to
another member of their family or friend around cultural capital. They don't have that now. So there's lots of other issues that are going on in our community. And I know our best resolve at this stage are other budgeting services, Salvation Army, work and income. But obviously, if their employment, like my biggest concern is that community of people where their employment is inconsistent. And that has been for purposes of survival, families that are in Housing New Zealand homes that have inadequate employment or one person earning an income. I think case by case, like it's very difficult to provide a blanket response.
Thank you, Emily.
I mean, of course, nobody wants high interest loans.
Yeah,
but
thank you.
I'm not sure how these families would get immediate service or help.
Thank you, Emily Afiaki, Mafaleo. And listening in also, Susan Taylor, just for her perspective on things, Financial Services Complaints Chief Executive. This is a financial dispute resolution service. What checks and balances are there on these operators, Susan, and particularly in an environment like this?
Well, Catherine, I think there are two issues here. The first of these is that there may be some people who already have these high-cost loans that might be struggling to pay them at the moment. And I think it's important, if they are having trouble meeting payments, then they should contact their lender as soon as possible and let them know. From some of the shopping around I've done, some of the high-cost lenders are at the moment willing to enter into repayment arrangements and are waiving things such as late payment fees. With regard to new lending, like any other lender, a high-cost short-term lender must comply with their obligations under the Responsible Lending Code and the Credit Contract Consumer Finance Act. And one of those obligations is to make sure that the credit providers will meet the borrower's needs and objectives, and that the borrower will be able to pay the loan back without suffering substantial hardship. And extra rules and protection apply for vulnerable consumers, where there is an obligation on the lender to make even more extensive inquiries.
Okay, Susan. But does it happen, and particularly with some of these operators, does this happen in practice? Does this happen in real life? And does it happen in the kind of extreme circumstances that we're going into right now?
We do see cases where the lenders haven't complied with their responsible lending obligations. But there are penalties that apply for that.
Yeah, but that requires someone to make a complaint and bring a case, doesn't it? And is that going to happen in this situation?
Well, we would encourage people to make complaints and to talk to, for example, financial mentors who can help them make sure that the complaint gets through to the dispute resolution scheme. If a complaint gets through to us and we find irresponsible lending, we have powers to waive interest and fees and to help those vulnerable consumers.
That's good to hear, and people will hopefully take that option up and use intermediaries if need be. Thank you all of you for your time this morning. That's Susan Taylor, Chief Executive of the Financial Services Complaints Limited Dispute Service, speaking to us. Thanks also very much to Emmeline Afiaki-Mafaleo and to Tim Barnett.